Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase 1 of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. It's Vern's Hot Stove live from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona. As promised, joining us now, Royals reliever Amir Garrett, who after a year of paying homage to the late, great Kobe Bryant, is back wearing that familiar number 22. He was back on that familiar bump earlier today, drawing the praises of his manager. Amir, how you doing? I appreciate the time tonight.
Man, I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, I spoke with Dylan Coleman after the game today, and you know, was talking to him about your influence in that clubhouse. He says that you've helped lay the blueprint out for a guy like him, Jose Quas, the blueprint of you know, staying in the moment, staying even, knowing when to have fun and when to get to work. What does it mean to, you know, for as young as you still are, to be making an impact like that?
Man, it means a lot to me because, like, guys before that were in the game that brought me up were the same way. So just for me to just pay homage, you know, and get the knowledge that I learned from the vets that I had around me and pass it down to the young guys, you know, and hopefully they pass it down to, you know, guys that come after them. It's just, you know, it's just a trait that I've always had, just being a leader. You know, I think that's just something that comes natural to me, man. And you know, it's great that, you know, those guys talk highly about me, because you know, that's just it just means everything, man. I can't even put it into words. I'm just like, you know, I'm grateful that they even, you know, look at me.
And I'll tell you what, man. Talking with you know, Royals fans, even some Royals personnel, they're surprised at the leadership role that you have in that clubhouse, because people have made assumptions from afar. Then they get to know you and they realize, you know, the guy in between the white lines isn't the same guy you're going to find in the clubhouse.
Yeah. I mean, I've always, like, you know, it's nothing that, I mean, I wouldn't consider bad. Of course you're not going to like me if you're not on my team. I don't want you to like me, and it shouldn't be like that. If we're in between those lines, it's game time. Like, I don't care about you in the lines, and you don't care about me. That's just how it is. And, you know, when I came over to the Royals, everybody, like, looked at me and was like, I was like, bro, like, no, whatever you guys see on the mound, that's just me having to lock it in. Like, we could be cool, you know, after the game or whatever, but when we're in those lines, no, sir. You know, like, it's not happening. I'm not trying to be your friend. And I take pride in I got my guys back, too. So you mess with any of my teammates, you know, no matter what the case may be, you're going to have to see me. You know what I mean? And I come from a big family. So, you know, I take care of my family, you know, and I treat my teammates like my family. I got to take care of my brothers.
Along those lines, I know. I was talking with your manager a while back, and you know, we brought up the whole Javi Baez, Amir Garrett, and you know, he was like, you know, when I first came over here, I thought, you know, he wants to hit or fight Javi Baez, and he says, I sit down and talk with him. It's no, he just wants to get him out. He just wants to best him out there on that diamond.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. when people think about me and Javi, it's not, you know, obviously things, you know, people tempers flare like in the heat of the moment, but like, I'm not going to be outside the time, hey, I want to beat you up, like nothing like that. Like, that's just two competitive minds clashing on the baseball field. You know what I mean? And I, like I said, I come from basketball, so you get that all the time. Guys are in your face doing this, doing that, rah, rah, rah. Like, baseball, to me, us as baseball players, we're soft because we can't handle none of that. You know what I mean? Like, nobody can handle none of that. So it's like when somebody says something that, you know, just a little thing or does something that's not the right way or, you know, how baseball's been played, people, you know, tend to be like, oh, you know, like, it's just, they just don't think it's right. But that's just two competitive minds clashing. And, yeah, like he said, I just want to face him, get him out. And it's like, you know, that's all it's ever been.
Yeah, there are plenty of reasons why I want an NBA team in Kansas City. I think that would help. Just watching, you know, Ja Morant and Anthony Davis the other night going at each other's necks, game's over. And then it's all love center court. Do you think the game is progressing, baseball? Do you think we're getting to a place where we could see a little bit more like real competition and real jawing back and forth?
I mean, you won't get that like out of a pitcher and a hitter because, you know, like you're so far away or whatever. Like you don't have time to do that. You might guy be on base or whatever, talking to each other. Whatever, but you know, the game is progressing, the game is getting more fun, and that's a good thing for baseball. You know, you're getting more viewers, getting younger viewers and stuff like that, and you're getting more kids to, you know, to get in and enjoy baseball. Because I remember when I was younger, like, I didn't like baseball just until literally I was 21 years old, and I thought it was just so boring, like, you know what I mean? But the way it's being played now and the way the game is, like, it's getting younger, you know, and you got the more swag and stuff like that, that's good for baseball. As it progresses, we got to progress with it.
Royals reliever Amir Garrett joining us here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Speaking of the game's progression, what are your thoughts on the pitch clock after being on the hill a few times?
Oh, I work fast anyway, so I don't think it affects me, but it's definitely, you know, night and day. Like, the games are so fast. Like, I think the longest game has been, like, you know, just a shade over 3 hours, but the game today was 2 hours and 47 minutes. But it's like, the game is fast. We're gonna have to get used to it. Obviously, hitters, you know, are gonna have to, you know, think faster and stuff like that, and you know, and not be able to do their routines. But I think it's pretty good. You know, I've only, you know, been in one game, but it didn't bother me too much, but I'm looking forward to the season and how it plays out in the season.
I mentioned Coleman earlier, and not only earlier in this conversation, but earlier in the show. Man, I think that young man figured something out last year, and the rest of the league is about to find out this season. For someone that knows him, you know, better than anybody in the media, really anybody else, what would you tell Royals fans to expect from Coleman this season?
You know, just I would expect he had a really good year last year. I would expect progression from him. You know, what I preach is, you know, be a dog out there, be a dog, you know, because that's what that. What you do out there in your mound presence is how people are going to view you, you know? So when he goes out there and he has his demeanor, his swag, and people are like, dang, like, this guy throws 100. He got a wipeout slider. Like, he's untouchable. Like, Dylan, the sky is the limit for him because he can, you know, first of all, he got the plus-plus fastball, and he developed that slider that he got now that's probably one of the best in the league. But, you know, He's gonna be take the league on notice this year. That's for sure. You heard it here first. I promise you.
And he just looks mean out there. You know, he just looks like a guy you don't want to mess with. And you know, Jose Quas, I mentioned him earlier. He's been drawing the praises of all the new pitching coach. Speaking of the pitching coaches, what are your thoughts of Sweeney and Bove and the whole change to the pitching department?
I like it a lot. These guys know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. You know, they give us all the necessary feedback that we need. You know, the communication from these guys are, you know, top notch, and that's all you can ask for from coaches. You know, because we're all grown men at the end of the day. You know, for you to just sit there and, you know, try to coach adults or try to talk down to adults, that would never work. But the way these guys communicate to you, it's like, hey, like, we got something, you know, the other day, they found that, hey, we got this for you. Like, if you want to use it, you can use it. If you don't, let us know. Like, stuff like that goes a long way. And that's how you get guys to buy in and to whatever it is that you guys have as a team for you to be successful. And these guys have been great so far.
Yeah, Q's big thing, because I've used that word buy-in before, and he always stops me. He says, I don't like that word because then it seems like we're trying to sell them something. And with all due respect to your previous skipper, you know, that he would use that term a lot. That's kind of where I picked it up from. And, it just seems as if, you know, the coaching staff lays it all out there. You pick what you want, but it's a lot more player empowerment.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be. Like I said, these guys, they got to it immediately as they got hired. Q, Sweeney, all them, I got a call, you know, one after the other. Yeah, this is what we're going to do. Like, this is what we got, like, for you to be successful in everything. And that's all you want right there. Guys that are invested, guys that are, you know, ready to do whatever they need to do for you to be successful as well as the team. Like, These guys are really good. You know, I'm enjoying it so far. I know the team is looking forward to start the season.
So what do you you know, as a leader, as a teammate, as a man, what do you take from last year? Because I've told the story on the air a few times, man. I'd come into that clubhouse last year, and it's everyone's dead quiet except for you, Coleman, Quas, Barlow. That was the only group that made noise, that seemed like they were enjoying the life of a big leaguer. What do you take from that experience?
What I used to tell the guys last year, like when I first came over here, this is my personal opinion. When I walked in, I was like, and got around the guys for a little bit and seen how tight, I was like, this is not a big league environment. I was like, this is not a big league environment. And I try to do as much as I could to get guys comfortable. I mean, obviously, because you have a whole bunch of rookies. You have guys that don't think they can talk, don't think they can speak, and, you know, and it's like, that's not how it should be, you know, and it's just, you know, guys are respectful, but it's like, they're not comfortable. So I told guys all the time, hey, man, listen, be who you want to be. You know, obviously, you be respectful to the vets or the coaches, the staff, whatever, but be who you want to be. You know what I mean? You want to come in here and you want to talk, like, go ahead and talk. You want to change the music, you know, do your due diligence, ask, you know, for a song or request a song, you can do that. You know, because when I came up, it was like, no, like, you stay at your locker and you be quiet, like, that's it. And guys, I just felt guys were uncomfortable. And, you know, this year I see a big difference, which I love, because these young guys are going to have to become themselves. They're going to have to love to come to the field every single day and enjoy their work. And I feel like last year that just wasn't happening.
I think MJ Melendez is going to be the perfect example. I think of him hitting that big home run last year, running down the first baseline, looking in the dugout and letting everybody know I'm that dude. That's who MJ Melendez needs to be. And I know you're close with the 24-year-old. What impresses you most about him as a young man and him as a ball player?
With MJ, he's a very good baseball player, obviously. I didn't know much about him when I first came over here, and I was like, they were like, oh, he hit 30 something home runs last year. I was like, oh, okay, cool, like, whatever, all right. You know, I was like, all right, you know, I just brushed it off a little bit. And as we got closer, you know, I was like, I got closer to him, and he made his debut and stuff like that. We talked or whatever, and I'm just like, this guy can really hit. This guy can really hit for some power. Like, And I guess, I know he hit 18 home runs last year. I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, like, in the offseason, I'm like, this dude might hit 30 next year. He might hit 35. He might be a guy to hit 40 one day, you know, and especially at a catcher, that's pretty impressive. But MJ, I would say, he's, you know, for him to get out there and play outfield, and as well, last year he would have to, you know, focus on catching, focus on the outfield, and, like, continue to do both. Or early work each every single day for both positions, like, that was impressive. I felt like, I was like, damn, like, this guy is definitely going to be tired out. Like, he's going to burn out, you know, midway through the season, and he didn't. You know, he was able to be out on the field and be healthy and stuff like that. And, you know, that MJ's my boy, man. MJ's my boy, but that, I admired that about him last year.
100%. Yeah. Means a lot more when someone like you says it, but, man, I was preaching that all last year. To be that age, to juggle all of that, quite impressive. We're pleased to be joined by Royals reliever Amir Garrett. Just a few more minutes on 610 Sports Radio. Anyone that follows you on Twitter knows there was a change in your life where, you know, your Twitter feed, you could see the growth or the change, and that was becoming a father. How has being a father changed you?
Being a father, like, means the world to me. My daughter has changed my perspective, my outlook on just life. I've learned, you know, when I'm at work, no matter what happens at work, like, I always go home and I'm always able to smile. Like, I've learned that I will never have a bad day. I will never have a bad day. I will have a bad minute, a bad 20 minutes, 10 minutes, but I'll never have a bad day. And my daughter, you know, she basically softened me up, mm-hmm. You know, and that's okay. But I see life just so differently now. And I'm just grateful for that. You know, like I say, I tell the guys, stay in the moment. Don't take this for granted. Like, just things like that, like, you know, being a father has been the greatest thing that could ever happen to me.
Without question, and I have to assume that it's going to carry onto the mound as well when you can, especially in someone with your role where, you know, you get an inning plus and it's either great or people are going to be angry because it wasn't great. Yeah, going home, opening that door, seeing her, it's got to make it easier to leave it at the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, if baseball was easy, anybody could do it. It's not easy. This game is the hardest. This game is hard. You know, not everybody can throw a strike when they want. I only know a handful of people that can throw a strike whenever they want. You know, a hitter can't hit a ground ball through the four hole with a guy on third. Like, it's not easy to just hit the ball on the ground. Like, if this game was easy, anybody would do it. But that's why we're here, and that's why we're at the top of our profession, because this game ain't easy, I'll tell you that.
Yep, and I know you're too humble to say it, but that's why you guys get paid what you get paid, because if a lot of people could do it, you wouldn't. But it is quite the craft, and that's why. And we want to watch it.
You said it. Yep, you do.
Amir, last year when we had you on, You gave me a starting five made of teammates. You were running the point. You had Benintendi in the two spot. Merrifield. See, you could tell you were still feeling out the clubhouse.
Yeah, I was feeling out the clubhouse. Yeah, this team sucked.
Merrifield.
No, I'm saying the top five. My five basketball teams.
Right.
That's
yes,
what I'm saying.
Yes,
I'm listening to this lineup, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Merrifield, Michael A. You had Carlos Hernandez as your big, and then Bobby coming off the bench. So now as you
Jesus.
Are, yeah, you're pretty set
that
in this clubhouse.
Terrible.
Yeah, give me the real squad that you're running with in 23.
I'm going with me at the point, you know, because if I want to score, get a bucket, whatever. I'm going to say Quas. I haven't played basketball. He says he can shoot, so I'm going to play him at the two. And I'm going to have Bobby's going to be in there. Bobby's athletic, and that's my boy.
Right.
I don't think he can play basketball, so that's why I had him come off the bench. You know, I don't think he can play basketball. He can do everything on a baseball field, but I don't think he can play basketball.
He's been playing baseball since he was like six. That's all he's done.
Yeah, so not a basketball player. So we're gonna go me, Kwas. Of course we're gonna go Dylan. Dylan has a little highlight tape, you know, that he played basketball, you know. And I'm gonna go Jonathan Bolin too, because he said he's pretty good. So that's
he's
four
big.
Right there. Yeah, he's a big guy.
Big
so
dude.
And then we have to go one more guy. All right. I'll put Mervo in there.
Are you really gonna leave the kid out?
I put Mervo in. He talks, he says he can dribble a little bit, but you know, I don't know.
He tries to tell us that you're only good because you're tall. I'm like, what are you talking about? Look at the back of the card, man. This guy's got numbers.
Hey,
he's got
Mervo. That's why I don't listen to him sometimes, because sometimes he just talks out of his butt, you know. I'll put for my six. You know, I'm gonna put six. Let me get six and seven. I'm gonna put Bobby in there, and I put Vinny Pasquantino in there. I don't think Vinny can play basketball, but he likes watching it. So, but he can get me. He can foul out when he needs.
Yeah, he could be a little Pat Bev too, where he's just getting in people's heads, talking too much.
Yeah.
Amir Garrett. Amir, real quick. I don't know if people are fully aware. How many Hall of Famers? I don't care the sport. How many Hall of Famers you have in your phone right now?
Yeah.
Or future Hall of Famers?
I probably got about four or five, give or take.
Yeah, you can make a pretty mean starting five with Hall of Famers in that phone. I got some pretty
cool people in my phone. I was blessed to be around, you know, whether it was baseball, whether it was basketball, you know, and I also played football. So I know some football players too that are in the league, but you know, I was blessed to be around a lot of people and make those connections.
Yeah. And you know, so the trio of those three sports, I think, on display when you're on the Hill. We saw it earlier today at another solid outing from Amir Garrett. This bullpen really starting to shape up for 2023. Man, you know I was looking forward to this, and you did not disappoint, Amir. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I'll see you in the clubhouse tomorrow, brother.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. It's Amir Garrett, Royals reliever.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.